John chapter 8, I've been teaching through the book of John, and I'll go back and capture a couple of things that I think are really significant in chapter 8, and then we'll try to work our way through chapter 9 and see what happens. John chapter 8, verse 31, if you have an outline, you can follow. It's on the outline as well. So Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed him, in other words, he'd been speaking, and some of the Jewish people said yes. So now he's addressing the ones who said yes. And he says, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. So this is not a one-off thing. This is not, hey, we met, I said something, you said something, and that's the end of it. We never pay any attention to it anymore. He says, no, you need to continue in my word, and then you're truly my disciples, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, I'm not crazy smart, but I'm not crazy either. Scripture says, if you continue in my word, then you're going to know the truth, and the truth's going to set you free. How come I'm not free? You're probably not continuing in the word. Logistics. No, it's what he's saying, and you can't just lift that verse out because there's a cause and effect here. Do you know how I've noticed this in the last, I don't know, 15 years, 20 years, something like that? You know, people just don't understand cause and effect anymore. Really don't. Because, you know, you spit and the wind is going to hit up on your face, right? Don't be shocked. You shouldn't be. There are cause and effect in things. And dealing with people, counseling with people, they're just, it's like some people don't have any concept of that there would be a repercussion to some act that I took, to something that I said or failed to say. Yeah, there is. And he's saying here, guys, life has come into you. You're alive with the life of God. Continue. Don't quit. Commit yourself. Buy in, sell out. Which is it? I don't care. Am I supposed to buy in first and then sell out, or sell out first and then buy in? As long as you do both, it really doesn't matter. But he's trying to get them to understand. See, they don't know yet that he's going to go to the cross and leave the earth. He does. So he's trying to help them as much as he possibly can. So, if you continue in my word, then you will be truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered and said, well, we're Abraham's descendants, and we've never been enslaved to anybody. I just think that's one of the greatest lines in the Bible. When they said this, they were under the dominion of Rome, and they'd been under the dominion of the Egyptians, the Philistines, the Assyrians, Babylon, Greece. I mean, they'd been nothing but needed to be free, and they're saying, no, you don't understand. Abraham's our papa. And so we've never been owned by anybody else. I really want to know what Jesus thought. I know what he said because it's written in the Bible, but I don't think that's what he thought. He's going, right. So he turns it to the reality that he's trying to address. He says in verse 34, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. And I know that you're Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. See, he said, anybody that sins is a slave to sin. But you know what he does? He comes and gives life. And he turns slaves into sons and daughters. And that's what he does. And he's trying to say, guys, you don't know what's happened to you yet. I do. And this is what, but in general, they were out to kill him, stone him. Why? Because they weren't buying what he was saying. They didn't have ears to hear what he was saying. Of course, this is causing him problems. So he has an incredible problem with the way that they're acting and the way they're answering. He says, listen, I know you're Abraham's descendants, but you're designing to kill me because my word doesn't have any place in you. I think this is one of the most significant verses in the Bible. What needs to happen? We need to make sure that there's a place in us for the word of the Lord. It needs to make progress. And you have put on your outline, there's a whole bunch of things that different variation of Bible scholars say this verse means. But he says, you got to continue. Put down roots. Stay with me. He said, I'm going to liberate you from all this stuff that's going to keep you from wanting to do that. Pretty good. Verse 37 in the New Testament translation says this. It's, my word is not advancing in you, not making progress, not moving forward, not making room, not having a place in you because you're refusing the advance. It wasn't like it just happened by accident or some mean guy came along. No, there's volition involved. I need to choose that. I can remember when I first gave my heart to the Lord, you know, I was wanting to be a philosophy professor, and I had more screwed up thinking than you can possibly imagine. Well, maybe you can. And the Lord, I'd read the book, and I'd say, shh, I won't tell you what I said, but I'd say, what? How can that be? I believe this. And he'd say, well, you're going to take your word for it or my word for it? I didn't know what to do. But it's through the grace of God, when I gave my heart to the Lord, I didn't know what I was doing. And literally, I didn't even know you could, but the Lord spoke to me. I mean, he literally spoke to me and said, listen, you're a truth seeker, and the truth you've been looking for is a person, and I am he. And I said, oh, yeah. I said, that's sneaky smart, man. I never would have thought you'd find truth in the person I was looking in a book. Now, the book is the truth, but Jesus is the truth. Truth is a person and his word. And so I went to there was a pastor and an evangelist. It was like tag team. It really was not fair. Anyway, I went to them a couple of days later, and I said, okay, what do we do now? And they said, well, go home and read your Bible on your knees. And I was such an idiot, that's what I did. They meant go home and read your Bible and pray. I know that now. I didn't know that then. But I was pretty smart because I had never really humbled myself very much. So getting down on my knees, we lived in this mobile home trailer thing, and it had a little room that we'd made a playroom for the kids, and there was a little closet in it, and if you got down on your knees and put the Bible on the floor of that closet, it would hit you right in the face. So that's what I did. And I started praying the Bible. Because I'd read it and I'd say, what? Oh, I think that is like far out genre of the day. I mean, this is crazy good. You know? And I said, but that'd never be true. Could you make that true about me? And I'd start talking to him about it. And I ended up reading the Bible and praying the Bible. And pretty soon, it was finding a place in me. I didn't know that's what was happening. But all that hollow crud in me was getting filled up. And all the stuff that needed to get out was getting taken out. By permission, I was cooperative, but I didn't know it because I was reading this thing. This is bad. I'd never heard of this before. Never paid any attention. But this happened when this process began to take place. I think this is why I like this verse so much. That was necessary for me to get extracted and extricated from the lifestyle that I had been in. I needed truth, I needed light, and I needed direction. I didn't sign up for correction. That came too. I didn't sign up for that, but it came. But he's really good at it, so he made me just feel like it was revelation, which it was. But he didn't say stop doing stuff. He just started showing me stuff to fall in love with, and then the other stuff didn't look good anymore. It was all hominy. I won't go there, but you understand what I'm saying? So if you're wondering about people that you're praying for or working with, and you just can't seem to keep them on the straight and narrow, this is a good verse to pray for them because it's absolutely essential that we give the Holy Spirit room to park the Word of God in our hearts. He says, well, I hide that in my heart and it helps keep me from sinning. Yeah. I didn't know yet at the time, but that's what happens because that's what he said. And pretty soon, some of those things that you were chasing and doing, you just quit doing because you began to be able to approve the more excellent things. Philippians chapter 1, which I don't have time to go there. So when Jesus is telling them this, there's quite a contrast. He's saying, guys, can't you see it? Those of you who are pursuing me, and allowing the Word of God to have a place in you, you're worshiping me. And the other people want to kill me based on what I said. Based on what I said, you're believing that I'm the Messiah. These other people, based on what I've said, are planning to kill me. That's kind of a stark contrast. But then, see, the wages of sin is death, but it's not supposed to be his death. You understand what I'm saying? There's a big difference between worship and wanting to kill him. Amen. That's the case. I have a witness. But can you understand what I'm saying? Making room for it. And this is very difficult for them because they're Jewish people. And what Jesus is saying is heresy to them because it's not abiding by what Moses said. He's saying, new covenant, new testament, new truth, new power, you know, here I am. They couldn't get it. They just wanted to pick up stones and kill him. I just think, wow, what a contrast. And then I let myself think one day that, you know, when I don't let his word have advance in my life, then I am throwing stones at him. I'm putting things between me and him. Whoa. That's serious, isn't it? He's not telling them that. I told me that. Why? Because I don't want to do that. I want to be making the word have room, letting it gain ground, find a room in me. So I've been thinking a lot. Oh, gosh. I better think less here. I've been thinking a lot. I've been teaching on Wednesday night about renewing of the mind. And one of the things that has struck me about that, really for a long time, is Ephesians 1 verse 3. It said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Jesus." And if you don't have that underlined in your Bible, I would. If it's your phone, you work it out however you work it out. But he says, bless God, thank God, we honor God because he has, that's past tense, already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Jesus. He's already done that. Like it's already ready already. So what do I do about that? Do I want, in my life, would it be good for me to have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places? Everything that's in Jesus that he died for us to have? Wouldn't that be good? And it's already been done because it's in Jesus. He's already done it. He's finished. And then I'm in him and he's in me. Whoa! Then how come every spiritual blessing that's in heavenly places in Jesus isn't flowing out of me all the time? Or you. I'm just not going to beat up on me here. Right? I think one of the reasons is that one of the ways he transfers the fullness of those blessings that are already ours is when we make room for progress of the word in our lives. This is highly practical. I know it sounds a little ethereal, but it's highly practical. Because when he releases by the Holy Spirit the reality of his word in our hearts and we comply with it, we become more like him. And more room comes. Have you ever wondered what Paul meant when he said, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you"? I'm not real smart. Fact is, I was not good in math. Great at arithmetic, lousy in math. But multiplication better than add, right? Do you want, here's $10. Do you want that added to or multiplied? Multiplied. Yeah, like to the 1900 power, right? Well, Jesus says, I got stuff that are eternally good. Want them? That's what he said. And they're yours to have. As the Spirit of God causes the Word of God to change the way that you think about God so that you're in total agreement with him, fullness of agreement, and those blessings to become the way of your life. Isn't that good? Sign me up for that. Well, I think it's what Jesus is trying to tell these guys. Give room to it. I can remember one of the first sermons I heard when I got saved, and that meant I went to church. I was not excited about that, but anyway. And that guy was talking about giving. He says, well, the way in the kingdom, essentially what he's saying, the way what you do is you give, and the Lord gives to you. So the way to get is to give. And the reason you do that is you give to get to give. Then you get more, then you can give more, and you get more, and so you can give more. And that's the way that works. That's not good Wall Street arithmetic. And I'm listening to him, I think, the guy's nuts. I remember I did, I told Kathy, what? And then humility. Oh, the way up is down. I thought, you haven't lived out there, pal. You have no idea what you're talking about. Of course that's true. Because, you know, humble yourself and he will exalt you. Isn't that what it says? That's crazy thinking to a person who doesn't have the Spirit of God. That's obtuse thinking. It's only 180 degrees off of true north, you know. And I can't tell you how many of those things like that I bumped up against. And the more I allowed him to speak to me about it, the more it changed. And I might not have always complied with what he said, but I stopped resisting it. Let me say that again. I may not have always embraced and complied with what he said, but I quit fighting it. Man, you're like 80% of the way there when you quit fighting it. Right? What's that called? Surrender. Abandon. Commitment. Presenting your body as a living sacrifice. Right? Don't be conformed to the world. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, I think we ought to be jealous over what God has done for us. Jealous meaning, you went to all that trouble to put all those spiritual blessings in heavenly places so that I can have them because they're in him and I'm in him and he's in me. Let's go for that. And see, we should be jealous for that, you know, in the right way. I don't know if I'm getting in on that. You should. What if you bought your kid a new bike and you call him outside and said, here's your new bike. And he looks at it and he goes, oh, I really wanted blue. Here's this red, shiny new bike. You might be a mite disappointed. And he better run, maybe, because you might going to take his head off. Do you understand what I'm saying? But you went to all the trouble. It's not like you're going to get it for him. You already got it for him. And it's there. All he needed to do was approve of it. Well, you wouldn't be so proud to not approve a gift of God, would you? Are you kidding? Now, that's not the best example, but it was already provided. And the Father who knew what was in the Son got what he knew the Son wanted, needed, and should have. And the kid rejected it. I won't be that guy. Do you? I was for a long time. My theology didn't permit me to approve of certain gifts. That's changed. Hallelujah. Hence we are here. You know, I want you to see, making room. And he says, you need to continue. You need to continue in it. He says, don't stop, continue. Why? Because of the increase of his kingdom and of his peace, there isn't any end. So you can't outget him or outgive him. There's always more. Okay. That's one of my hobby horses. Couldn't tell, could you? So what we closed up with that, and I'll speed on for a few more minutes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 says this in such an amazing way, verse 13. We also especially thank God continually for this, that when you received, speaking to the Thessalonians, when you received the message of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of mere men, but as it truly is the word of God which is effectually at work in you who believe, exercising its superhuman power in those who trust and rely on it. See, that's one of the things you got to look at. He says, the word is alive. Of course, Jesus is alive and he's the word, but the book is alive. Oh, you don't really believe that, do you? Oh, base my life on it. Yeah. And he says, what I'm after, the Amplified Version, is for you to cooperate and see and give away the supernatural power of the word when it's cooking in somebody, when it's percolating in someone, when it's alive in someone. And that's how it's supposed to be. This is like supernatural normalcy. That really is what it is. You don't, this word of God is powerful stuff. People get healed when people just hear it sometimes. I mean, lots of stuff happens. And he said, I'm so glad, speaking of the Thessalonians, that you guys got it. And when you heard it, you just didn't say, what a lovely philosophy. You said, change my heart, oh God. Do what you want to do in me so you can do what you want to do through me. So other people can get what you're given through us. Huh? I love that. And that's what he's saying. You got to make room for the Lord to be more than you think he is, and you've got to give room for the word to be more than you might actually believe that it is. That's how you get built up. That's how we grow. Anyway, I think that's really important. I think it's connected to Ephesians 1, verse 3. I've had the Lord tell me this a few times. I've written it in my journal over the years. Every once in a while, I'll just say, I dare you to believe this. Well, he'd only tell you that because it's true. You know? And my response is, I don't know if I can get my little pea brain wrapped around that. Or something like that. And he gives you time. He does. Because he's not after you. He's after you. To give you everything you're after. But we think he's after us because we did something wrong on Thursday. Well, it's Sunday, man. You haven't done anything wrong since Thursday? That's amazing. Even he's surprised about that. No, not really. We can't depend strictly on our ability to obey. You can't measure his ability to reward based on my ability to obey. Because he does stuff exceedingly abundantly beyond all I can ask or think. That doesn't mean we should go out and live crazy lives. It means we ought to put ourselves in his hands. One version says, put your mind at his disposal. Man, I like that. Because, you know, when I first got saved, gave my heart to the Lord, I wish we'd had a thought disposal, not just a garbage disposal. Because I had a whole bunch I needed to dump. If I had just had a disposal, man, I could, and it's gone. That's called the blood of Jesus, by the way. But I didn't know that at the time. But volitionally, I don't want to think that way anymore. I do think that way. And I would tell the Lord, oh, I think that way. I think everybody thinks that way. Mm-mm. Nope. They didn't. In fact, there's not very many people thought that way. But do you understand what I'm saying? The supernatural power of the Word of God getting in you because it has the nature of God, the living Word of God, has the nature to change the way that you think on the inside as long as you keep saying yes. It's not like, you will now think this way. You know, it doesn't work that way. It's more like, how am I going to stop thinking this way? Oh, I can help that. Because now you've humbled yourself, grace is going to come to you. And hello? I never did get back to this. I better do that. You are a very deceptive in the way you're listening. You know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to cheat. Let's just go real quick to John chapter 9. We're just going to do the first 12 verses. I can do it real quick. We'll quit. It's this is one of those passages where you can spend a lot of time on, and it's not that we shouldn't, but I'll still quick. Jesus is just walking down the street. Okay, I'm going to paraphrase for you, do this quickly. And he sees a blind guy. And of course, the blind guy doesn't see him. But he sees a blind man. Sorry, it's life. And his disciples, now, this is only John chapter 9, but he's been through a lot of stuff. A lot of miraculous things have happened, okay? And these are not people, these are not Pharisees, these are not people off the street. It's his disciples. And they say, oh, the guy's blind. Whose sin was that? And Jesus is looking at him. He's thinking, oh, and I'm going to leave everything for you guys? I mean, come on. And so, did he sin? Or did his parents sin? Who sinned that he's born blind? Now, this is a perfect example of the unrenewed mind. This is a perfect example of a mind that's never gotten free from an Old Testament principle, even though we now have a new covenant reality. Hello? So it doesn't dismiss sin at all. I'm not saying that. But so Jesus looks at him, and what he does say is that, oh, none of that. This is so that the works of God would be illustrated through him. That's what one version actually says, illustrated through him. Isn't that cool? Well, why would the Lord do that? I said, listen, you have to understand. He knows the end from the beginning. There was something biologically wrong. The kid was going to be blind anyway. He said, I'll use that. All things work together for good for those who love God and call according to his purpose. I'm going to use that, and he's going to get his sight, and the Pharisees are going to lose their minds, and people are going to come to Jesus. Yes. Healing for the sake of evangelism. Poo! Right there. So he says, come here, bud. And I think it was good that the guy was blind, because Jesus spits in the ground and makes the clay. And it says, my version, New American Standard says, and he anointed his eyes. You never read, gold, frankincense, myrrh, mud. It's not in there. But he makes mud and puts it on his eye. This is where, here's mud in your eye. That's where that came from. You think I'm kidding? That's where that came from. Huh? And he says, go wash it off. So he goes to somebody helps him, gets to the pool, should wash it off, and he can see. Yeah. He's like, psh, wow. He was born blind. He'd never seen anything. So I don't know what he saw first, but who cares? I mean, it's like, yeah. And so everybody's like, wow, how did this possibly, how could you, who are you? What have you done? How could you do this? And so the word gets out because it's the Sabbath. And you're not supposed to do stuff on the Sabbath. Jesus already had a couple problems with this, of doing stuff, feeding the 5,000, all that kind of stuff. So the Pharisees get a hold of this, and they say, okay, who did this to you? What happened? He says, well, the guy comes. They say his name is Jesus, and he asked me, and so I spit and put him in, and I washed, and I can see. Well, they don't believe him. So they go get mom and dad. And then, I believe it's verse 22. I'm doing this as quickly as I can. The Pharisees have already said, anybody who believes that Jesus is the Messiah gets kicked out of the faith. So now they're asking mom and dad. Mom and dad are going, yeah, what? Is this your kid? Yep. He says, all we know is this. That's our son. He was born blind. Now he sees. We don't know who. We don't know how. He's of age. Ask him. So he had to be at least 18, So he'd been blind a long time, But now, so they don't really believe the guy. They don't really believe mom and dad. So they call the guy back in again. And the person who'd been born blind, they said, tell us what happened. He said, I already told you once. Are you guys wanting to believe in him too? It's really good. and they're really after him. He said, listen, I don't understand why you didn't understand, but mud, water, sea, this is it. So we know that he's a sinner. That's what they tell him. We know he's a sinner because he heals on the Sabbath. Totally, totally not paying any attention to the miracle, just the fact that it's on the wrong day, Jack. Yeah. And Jesus is thinking, well, I kind of made that day. Well, anyway, and the man answers and he said, listen, I don't know if he's a sinner or not. All I know, I didn't see. Now I see. You figure it out. Yeah. See, the church needs to be that. We need to be doing things like that where they have to fight us over the day as opposed to the miracle. Hello? Because see, this really happened. He really sees. And they are so angry. They're so mad. Jesus says to his disciples, guys, this is going to happen. Because his life is going to display the works of God. Display the works of God. And there's a purpose in that, in displaying the works of God. And so I want to read to you real quick what the works of God are. Maybe put it that way. Because when Jesus, I'll just do it. John the Baptist gets in jail. Bad deal. So he sends his disciples to Jesus. Are you really the guy? Are you the one? Should we be looking for somebody else? And he says, hey, you go tell John this. The blind see, the deaf hear. The lame walk, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Parentheses, the works of God. And that's what he used to prove to John that he was the real guy, that he was the one to be believed in. Now the Pharisees have to deal with the works of God. The blind man is seeing. Same thing he told John. Now this man's life is telling. Are you with me?
Yes.
And in the midst of this, the enemy's all messed up working on this because the Jews are saying, "What's with you guys? I mean, how can this be? Abraham's our father. We know God. He's our father." And Jesus said, "Oh, no. The devil is your father." Really bad PR here. But he tells them that. These are significantly religious people. And he says, no, the devil's your father because Abraham saw my day. Before Abraham was, I am. Saying that he's God. He said, Abraham saw my day and applauded it. Honored me. This is all happening in the heavenly realms. And he said, you can't be what you say you are, because you want to kill me. And there's even two words that he uses. He says, oh, we're Abraham's. You said, you may be Abraham's descendants. And the word is sperma, like you're somewhere in the line of family. He says, but you can't be his children. That's what the word is, because you want to kill me. And Abraham loved me. Wow, 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 wow. And of course, that's messing with their theology in a big, big way. So what I want to try to say is, if we let the word find root in us, and if we continue and allow the word to make advancement in us, we are much more likely to be in the place where the works of God are being displayed in our lives and through our lives. Come on. We get to be billboards for the kingdom, man. What's the Lord doing? Look at that. Takes the blind eyes, heals them. Takes the deaf ears, heals them. Takes the broken heart, takes the broken family, heals them. How does that happen? Jesus said, I do things, the Father does things, because We're wanting everyday people, the people that we see in our everyday lives, to recognize that the works of God are alive on the earth. And they really happen, and they're really real, and they're open to you. Isn't that cool? Have you ever thought about that when it says, oh, this is to show the works of God? It wasn't just for the one man. He now testifies. And now people are coming and wanting to see this guy. Why? Because they knew that he was a blind beggar. And he now has become a living billboard for the kingdom of God. I like that. You know what? I've tried to say this right. But when I was a little kid, I lived in this little town. And all of the shops had big plate glass windows, and they put what they had for sale where you could see it in the window. We used to tell joke all the time, this one lady, hope nobody in my hometown is listening, but there was a dress, big flowing type dress, with a park scene on it. I mean, like a park bench and a little light post and stuff like that. And all my life, my whole life until I was a teenager, when I walked past that building, that dress was in the window, never sold. But you knew what she had to offer because of what was in the window. We're supposed to be a place where people can window shop. And they can come in and take a look and say, oh my God. Love, joy, peace, patience, huh? Healing, soundness, consideration, compassion, hope, love. See, we're the windows. And it ought to be when people aren't coming in here to see what we got. The windows are out there walking around, working with them. Hmm? Why? Because the Lord's not short. He can do the works of God anytime, any place, with anyone. And you know what happens when he does? We're like Americans, and we can't keep our mouths shut. We'll talk about it. You suppose that guy that had been blind his whole life, and now he can see, doesn't start telling people? You're not going to believe this. I don't know if I believe this, but I see. So I do. Pharisees ask him one more time, what happened to you? And he tells them, he goes, ah. And they say, well, we know Moses, and we know God spoke to Moses. That's what they say. He says, but this guy, we don't know who he is. We don't. And the now seeing man says, well, how do you like that? Since the beginning of time, no one has ever healed someone who was born blind so they can see, and you guys don't know whether he's from God or not. Amazing! And they say, you know, you're a pagan, you're a heathen, and they throw him out. Now, really, that's what they do. They throw him out because he disagreed with them and told them the truth. How could you not know? The works of God are all over this. How could you not know? So he goes out, and Jesus finds out they threw him out of the place, so he goes and finds him. And he says, hey, I hear you can see. He says, yeah, how'd that happen? He says, well, this guy. He says, who was it? He says, well, I'm really not sure. I don't know. In my wonder, I don't know. And Jesus says, the one who's speaking to you is the one who heals you. You know what the Bible says? The Bible's such a book of understatement. I love this. It says, oh, so he worshiped him. You know what the word means? He prostrated himself right there on the street before him and worshiped him. This wasn't just a passing fancy. Oh, yeah, hey, you know, Jesus, that was really good. I'll turn the radio on the way home and, you know, K-Love and... He just throws himself before him. He said, my Lord and my God. Because he would have done that all along. But it's just too much happening at the time. So where did that come from? It came from the work of God, finding room in him. Hello? And his instant response when he found out who Jesus really was, my Lord, my God, throws himself on the ground. Man, come on. We might need a little more of that happening with us. But what I want you to see is that, well, this wasn't a curse on this guy or anything like this. Yes, he went probably the first 18, 20 years of his life without seeing, but it was empowered. It was on purpose. And when the purpose came, now multitudes of people, I mean, through the ages, multitudes of people have been blessed and believe because of what happened to him. Wouldn't that be awesome to have that on your gravestone? Boatloads of people came to Jesus because of this crazy person. You know, just, I don't care. Put a post-it up. I don't care. You know, that's the church, guys. That's the living God. He can't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we need to flow in partnership with him so that those things happen according to his plan and purpose. Do they happen every day? I don't know, but they ought to happen more often than they are. We've been studying renewing of your mind, and Bill Johnson says in his book, I like this phrase in particular, he said, you can tell if your mind's being renewed because those things that seemed impossible before are possible now. Well, you don't really think that stuff happens, do you? Yeah, I do. Have you seen some of those things happen? Yeah, I have. Do we want to see more of those things happen? You bet. What does it take? It takes something happening in me where I said, you know, I believe that. I believe you want to do that. I believe you might even want to do that with us. Oh, me is part of us. You may want to do that with me. Hope so. Hope so. See, I think if we could have that statement that Jesus made, oh, this is on purpose. This is to bring glory to God because he's going to have the works of God displayed in his life. Whew. Why don't you stand up with me? That was a little long, but we got through almost two chapters. So, Holy Spirit, thank you for being here with us. We want to volunteer this morning to be the kind of people that will be able to discern and spot when you're wanting to display the works of God. And it may be something that we consider really major, eyes open, ears open, people getting out of a wheelchair. We want those things to happen so that people around us can know you're really real and you're really you. But Holy Spirit, you do things where you lift broken hearts out of people, where you slide people out of depression and discouragement, where you come and vanquish the hold that guilt and shame have over people and you make them free. We want to continue in you. We want your word to gain progress in us. And we want to see what the Bible says, a supernatural result, which can mean anything you have on your mind. And so, Lord, we collectively volunteer to be that kind of people. We collectively volunteer to be that kind of a church. And we want to see people touched, blessed, healed, delivered, changed because of the works of God happening in the people of God. Lord, you're no respecter of persons. You didn't love that man that got his eyes healed in John chapter 9 any less or any more than you love us. breathe on us, breath of God. We have sensed and been in your presence this morning. And Lord, we want you to have the result for which you came. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you told the Pharisees that the man you prayed for could see and they were still blind. And I pray that you would deal with any religious blindness that might be in or over any of our eyes. And Lord, would you give us the capacity to have the response that that man had when he really saw you and really knew you, really encountered you. All he could do was just hit his knees, bow before you, and declare who you were. We declare it here. Scriptures say that every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all to the glory of God the Father. And Lord, that's music to ours. And we want to hear that coming out of person after person after person after person. Now, while they have a chance, not later when there isn't any opportunity for chance. Look up at me for just a minute, please, because I wrote something down beforehand, and I'm just going to say it, because probably for someone. It's not wrong to live a principled life. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about principled life. But I felt the Lord saying this morning, yeah, and just stand back, because I'm going to blow power into those principles. I want to empower the principles that you've based your life on, so they're expanded and they express way more than just the right or the wrong, way more than just a set way of doing things. Lord, you empower principled hearts so that they become captured hearts. And it doesn't mean that the principles aren't true, but the principles without the power are rendered kind of useless. We ask, Lord, for you to empower the principles. We want you to achieve holiness in us so we can present you a life holy unto you. And we bless you for being here with us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. I think that's how we're going to do it today. Sweet.